And before we sing that hymn, would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. Our Lord, we're just so thankful, Father, that you've blessed each and every one of us that's here, Father, with another day of life, Lord, another opportunity that upon the first day of the new week, Lord, we can rise up out of our beds, Father. We can safely travel and openly assemble together, Father, to worship thee in spirit and in truth here this morning, Lord. Our Father, we pray that all of our acts of worship unto thee would be conducted decent and in order, Father, and that all might be most pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Father. We ask these things, Lord, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Morning, church.
Morning.
Okay. By 4:35, we'll sing all three verses of this hymn, 4:35. And let us sing.
Time is filled with swift transition. No lover from who can stand. Feel jump hope on things eternal. And hope to God's unchanging hands. We got a hope to God's unchanging hands. We got a hope to God's unchanging hands. Feel jump hope on things eternal. And hope to God's unchanging hands. And trust in him who will not be you. Whatsoever gives and brings, if my earthly friends forsaken, still more close to him cling. He got a hope to God's unchanging hand. He got a hope. God unchanging hand, build your hopes on things eternal, and hope to God's unchanging hand. And when the journey is completed, and if to God you have been true, faith and right to home in glory, your enraptured soul will prove. We got a hope to God's unchanging hand. We got a hope to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. And hope to God's unchanging hand. We got a hope to God's unchanging hand. We got a hope to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. And hope to God's unchanging hand.
For opening prayer this morning, if you would, please. To your hymn book, hymn number 538, 538. We'll sing all three verses of this hymn, 538. And let us sing.
My Jesus knows when I am lonely. He knows he's saved. He sees he's dead. He understands his lonely heartache. He understands because he cares. My Jesus knows just what I need. Oh, yes, he knows just what I need. by Jesus, Lord. When I am burdened, He knows how much my heart can bear. He lifts me up when I am sinking, and brings me joy beyond compare. My Jesus knows just what I need. Oh, yes, He knows just what I need. He saves mine and every need. So far, yes, He knows just what I need. When other friends seem to forget me, when skies are dark, when hope is gone, my faith I feel, His arms around me, and hear Him say, "You're not alone." My Jesus knows just what I need. Oh, yes, He knows just what I need. He satisfies and every need. So far, yes, He knows just what I need.
Let us bow. Our Father who art in heaven, once again, Lord, we humbly bow unto Thee and approach Your mighty throne of grace, thanking You, Lord, for another day in spite of all the turmoil that is happening in this world. It is a good day. Another day that the Lord has made. We're so grateful and so thankful and so humble that we have this day that we can rejoice and rejoice in it together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Thanking You, Father, once again that all of the church doors was open this morning, Lord, and that all those had the desire to enter in and to worship with You in mind, to worship You, Lord, in spirit and in truth. There are those, Father, that would have liked to be here this morning, weren't able to do so, Father, for various reasons. We pray, Father, that they too will rejoice in this day to remember how much You love each and every one of us and how much You cared to give Your Son for each and every one of us, allowing Him to come to earth and to die, to shed His precious blood that atone for our sins. At this time, Father, we have many precious souls that are in need of Your tender mercy and Your touch. We pray, Father, that You'll reach out this morning and touch them in a very special way, and that they know that You care and You are concerned about the issues that they might be facing in life, the sickness that surrounds them, just to ensure them, Father, that they can always depend on You, Lord, for answers that they might need, and the joy that they need to be uplifted at times when they are sad. We thank you, Father, for the lesson that Brother Gilbert has prepared, and for giving him the willpower, the desire, and the strength to bring us your word that inspires us in so many ways, that direct our steps and our thoughts, and help us to go in the righteous direction that we should travel. Father, as we enter into this worship service this morning, we pray that the songs that we sang, the words that proceeded from my mouth, and our worship service unto thee this morning, will be pleasing and acceptable unto thee. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Prepare our minds for taking the Lord's Supper this morning, if you would please. Turn your hymn book to hymn number 371. 371. We'll sing all three verses of this hymn. 371. Let us sing.
When we meet and speak of where the feast divine is spread, hearts are brought in a closer union, while partaking of the bread, precious feast of all else surpassing, what was love for you and me, while we feast Christ gently whispers, God so loved one Christ measure, love and gave the best of men, but us with that matchless treasure, gave for us His life was given. Precious feast, all else surpassing, was Christ's love for you and me. While we feast Christ gladly whispers,
Christ gently whispers,
This do in remembrance of me. We can read that in 1 Corinthians 11:24 and 25. We can read the words of Jesus, our Savior. And that's what we have at this time, the opportunity to come together and do this in remembrance of him. Knowing that Jesus was without sin, did no wrong, and that he wanted to spare this world from the punishment of sin that we deserve. To know that he had a power that none of us can even comprehend, where his mere words could calm a raging storm at sea. And he didn't speak these words and use these words to and use that power to save himself from the death on the cross. He could have done that, but he loved this world so much. And the words that he spoke were, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." So as we come together in remembrance, let us take this time to clear our minds, to reflect back on that sacrifice and what it meant to each and every one of us. We have before us, we have the two emblems. We have the bread, which represents his body, and we have the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this opportunity to come together in remembrance, Heavenly Father, to come together in remembrance of thy Son, Jesus, for that sacrifice that he was willing to make on our behalf, Heavenly Father, to become that perfect lamb without spot or blemish, to be able to be willing to give his life for each and every one of us, to give his life to save us, even though we were yet sinners, Heavenly Father. But his love was so great for each and every one of us that he was willing to give his life and give us that hope at eternal salvation. And we just pray at this time, Heavenly Father, that as we are about to partake of this bread, represents thy Son's body, that we do so in a manner that it be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Dear Lord, we thank you for the awesome power that's in your Son's blood, that he was so willing to give himself so freely on our behalf, to be able to let the blood flow for us that washes us clean. Father, we thank you that we're able to remember him in this way each and every first day of the week. Father, as we partake of this fruit of the vine, we remember the wonderful sacrifice he gave on our behalf. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
If anyone has been overlooked or partaking of the Lord's Supper, raise your hand. Seeing no hands, we have another portion of worship service which is given. And this is a joyous occasion. This is an opportunity to give back a portion of the many blessings that our Heavenly Father has provided for us, to show our appreciation for everything that our Heavenly Father does for us. So let us keep that in mind as we pray for this opportunity to give. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for giving us another day, allowing us to rise from our beds this morning, for giving us life, Heavenly Father, giving us everything that we see, all the beauty that we see in this world, for all that you provide. And we're just so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for being by our sides each and every second of the day, Heavenly Father, watching over us, bringing us up when we are down, Heavenly Father, providing us our happiness, giving us our will, giving us all that our abilities, Heavenly Father, to go out in this world, to work, to be able to provide for those that we love, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we prepare to give back a portion of the many blessings that you have given us, that we'll do so in a way, in a manner that will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would, please mark your hymn book to hymn number 889. 889 will be our song of invitation this morning. 889. And after marking that hymn, if you would, please turn your hymn book to hymn number 285. 285. We will sing all three verses of this hymn, and I'll kindly ask all those who can easily stand to please stand at this time. 285. And let us pray.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. Nothing else can heal all our souls, Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. You know, Jesus knows all about our troubles. He will die till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus, the Lullaby, our troubles, He will pass till the day is done. There's not a friend like the Holy Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There's not a
Scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of Revelations, chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. That's Revelations, chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. I'll be reading from the King James Version. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, These things saith he, which hath the sharp sword, with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. The title of the lesson this morning is Don't Let Satan Have a Seat in the Church. Brother Baldwin.
Good morning. Good to see everybody, and it's always good to be in the Lord's house. And certainly we thank God for blessing us and giving us health and the strength be able to be here today for this service. We are here to praise God, to magnify God, to glorify God for all of the marvelous things that He has done and is doing in our lives. And we are appreciative to be here today. Well, we say to all of our guests, to all of our visitors, welcome. We're always happy to have visitors here with us at Cross Street, and we hope your visit today is going to be uplifting and rewarding for you. We hope the day's visit will be so good, you will decide right now that you're going to come back and visit again. God is good. All of the time. Somebody here may be going through something today. Keep in mind, God is still in control. God is still God. And when you think God is nowhere around, as the poet says, you will find God standing in the shadows. keeping watch over his own. Well, in the book of Revelation, looking at the seven churches of Asia, today I want to look closely at that third church, Pergamos. Revelation, we read about those churches. The first church, as you recall, is the church at Ephesus. We see this church has a positive outlook. Things were going well. It was a church that loved to stand for truth. It was a church that stood firm on the word. They were so rigid in their telling people that they were lost, they forgot their love. You know, that's why we have to remember when we tell folk that they are lost, we've got to make sure we tell them with love, right? We got to make sure we love everyone and everybody. Now, the second church there was a church at Smyrna. Smyrna was a poor church. Smyrna didn't have a lot of money. A lot of folk there didn't make big dollars. But in spite of all of that, God said they were still rich. You know, you can be poor without a penny to your name. But if you know the Lord and you put God first in your life, you are somebody. It's not where you live that makes you somebody, or what you drive, or even what's in the bank that makes you somebody. Loving God, putting God first in your life, that makes you somebody. You can have all the education that you want, but if you don't know Jesus Christ, you'll still be lost. So I encourage you, don't worry about your financial circumstances. Make sure you are running over with treasures in heaven. Now, we also see this particular church at Smyrna. They were going through some tribulation. They were being persecuted. They were suffering, but they were being encouraged. They were being encouraged just to hold on. God knew where they were. Revelation chapter 2, verse 20 says, "And be thou faithful unto death, not until you die." He's even saying it means taking, if your life is being taken, you still need to stand up for Jesus Christ. I wonder how many of us today would stand for Jesus if they told us, well, if you go to church today, we're not going to pay you for this week. Well, I guess I better go on and do what the boss man said. You better go on and stand up for Jesus, right? Make sure you're standing on the word of God. Then he encourages us to hold on to that which overcometh. That they will be able to say, let's look at verse number 11 and get it right. In verse number 11, it says, "He that hath an ear, let him do what? Let him hear the Spirit. Let him hear what the Spirit has to say." He's talking about the second death here. You know what the second death is. You've got to make sure that you are prepared for the second death. A lot of people are afraid of the first death. The first death can't really hurt you. It's the second death you've got to be prepared for. Revelation chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse number 6, it says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection." So in order for you to miss that second death, you've got to be a participant in the first resurrection. Got to say, it goes on to say, "On such the second death hath no power over you." So in other words, if you have participated in the first resurrection, you should have no problem missing out on the second death. I want to tell you this morning, if you've been a member of the body of Christ, if you have put on Christ in the act of baptism, You were resurrected up out of the grave, and the second death hath no power over you. Simply means you don't worry about it. So when you die, you know what you are? You're just asleep. You don't have to worry and get all ballistic when your loved ones leave, because you recognize that if they are in the body of Christ, this is not the end. When you leave this world, it's just the beginning of a new walk for them. So you need to make sure you have participated in the first resurrection. You've got to make sure you've been baptized into the body of Christ, so that the second death was going to have no power over you. Let's look at what he says in verse 14. He's talking about the second death. He says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And what was cast into the lake of fire? Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And it goes on to say, this is the second death. Folk, if you've been a member of the Church of Christ, if you have remained faithful, when it comes to that judgment day, when you stand before God, you don't have a thing to worry about if your name is written in the book of life. You can rest assured you have missed the second death. But if your name is not in the book of life, you can rest assured you're going to die again. You're going to die a second time when you go to that hell that is burning with the lake of fire, burning with fire and brimstone, and it burns forever and ever. So you want to make sure you miss out on that second death. So now he encourages the church at Smyrna. He said, number one, he that overcometh, I want you to know this, that you don't have a thing to worry about, because that second death can't do anything to you. Well, now, let's move on to that third church, which is the topic today. In verse number 12, he says, and to the angel of the church at Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. If I were to give a title to this lesson today, it would be, don't let Satan have a seat in the church. Don't let him sit down. Here, he's talking to the body of Christ. He's talking to the body. And he's saying that in the midst of the church, he's letting us know that every time God's people come together, you can rest assured Satan is somewhere in the midst. And so you need to make sure he does not get a seat. So let's look at what he says to the church at Pergamos. He said, this is the body of Christ, the church that he died for, that he shed his blood for on Calvary. This is the one body, the one baptism. This is the one faith. So if you're going to be saved, you've got to be in his church. You've got to be able to tell people wherever you go that the church is right, and that is the way to go. There are some things about Pergamos that I want you to know this morning. Pergamos was a city that was known to be like a Las Vegas. They had a nightlife. They didn't sleep. And things in Vegas were going on all the time. It had a nightlife. And whatever you were looking for, you could find it at Pergamos. Pergamos was a place that idolatry, idol worship, fornication were on the rampant. And the church there was right in the midst of all of this sin. Kind of sounds like the church now, doesn't it? We are living in a world where there's sin all around us. But we are not to be partakers of that sinful world. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." I want you to know that just because we are in this world doesn't mean we got to act like this world. We don't act like this world because we are not a part of it. We need to show the world how to act, how to dress. You know, instead of the world showing the children of God how to behave, we need to show the world. It's not just the young folk either. Some of the older ones need to rethink a lot of things. Young folk, I see all the time walking around town. The young men don't want to wear a belt. The pants are halfway down. Yeah. If you're a child of God, the first thing he teaches us is how to dress, right? Well, somebody said, "Well, what do you mean?" You know, well, T, we do this because we are representing Jesus Christ. Can you imagine Jesus walking around, as they say, busting a sag? He and his apostles, all 12 of them, his posse, okay? Can you imagine them walking around with their robes all, well, I guess it would be up. Many robes, or a robe with a split going up side. You know, that's hard to think about, isn't it? But you got to recognize we cannot let the world tell us how to behave. We must tell the world how to act. Because, pardon me, we all have a responsibility to God. We might be living in the world, but we are not a part of this world. We don't let the world determine how we act or how we conduct ourselves. We live according to how the Bible instructs us. Somebody might say, "Well, Brother Gilbert, you know, this is a new day. And that stuff you were talking about, that's old stuff." Well, I'm just glad to be living in the old time pathway, right? That's the Lord's way. And any time you get into the body of Christ, yes, it might be the old time pathway, but you're in the church that was established some 2,000 years ago. And the same church that was established on the day of Pentecost is the same church that's established today, and it's got the same old message. Jesus is able to save the lost. Amen. Now, Pergamos. Pergamos was a city that just had so much going on. They were loyal to Rome, but they were natural enemies of the Christians. The Christian there went through a lot of trouble, a lot of persecutions. And when you look at Pergamos, well, it received its name from that Pergamia. It was once an educational and a cultural center. When we see that what's going on in Pergamos, now we can understand why he's writing these letters to these churches, in particular the one at Pergamos. He says in verse 12, "These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges." And who is the he? The he is Jesus Christ, which simply means that when Jesus speaks, he speaks with all authority. If you're going to follow the word of God, we've got to follow it just as he says. Look at what he says in Hebrews 4:12. It says, "For the word of God is quick." I want you to recognize the word of God here means it's alive. We're not living under a dead book. Some people say, "You know, well, this book now is not relevant to the times we live in." Yes, it is. It is alive. And he goes on to say it is quick and powerful. That word powerful there means it is active. The Word of God, now sometimes people do feel powerless. It is because more than likely you have not been studying the Word of God. Do you feel weak sometimes? Powerless sometimes? Feel like you just can't go on? Well, if you pick up the Word of God, start reading the Bible, start studying the Bible, implement it into your life, it's powerful. Sharper than a two-edged sword, meaning it's able to reach the ones on the outside of the body as well as the ones who are on the inside of the body. Now, a lot of people who are here this morning, I know, are going through a lot of problems, dealing with certain issues. I want to tell you today to pick up the Word of God. Some people don't touch the Bibles until they're on the way out the door coming to church on Sunday. If then. You know, some say, well, I just need some mental health. Well, you don't need a psychologist. If you pick up the Bible, the study of the Word of God, you've got the greatest psychologist of all times, and that's Jesus Christ. Some say, well, I know I need to go see my therapist this week. Talk to Jesus. Everything that psychologist is going to tell you is already in the Bible. Every therapy that they have and telling you what to do, Jesus has already told you about it. Now, in extreme cases, you might need a little extra help. Well, I don't want to discourage you from seeing your therapist. But try reading the Bible, studying the Bible first. Then in Revelation 1:16, he says, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And when Jesus speaks, he speaks. You remember those commercials way back in the 70s and 80s about E.F. Hutton? Some of you remember it. They said, when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens, right? Some of you remember that. That's the way it is with the Word of God. When the Lord speaks, everybody needs to be listening to what he's saying. All right, let's look at chapter 2 of Revelation. Revelation 2, verses 13, he says, I know thy works and where thy dwellest. He's saying, not only do I know your works, but I know exactly where you live. Man, that is powerful. That's a powerful statement. Now, here are a group of saints, group of people living in the city of Pergamos in the midst of all of that sin. When God knew exactly where they are. Folks, God has got our address. He knows where we are. He knows how to reach us. He knows what we're going through on our job. He knows what's going on in your life. And at any given point in time of life, he knows all about it. What are you dealing with? Well, Brother Baldwin, nobody seems to understand me, but somebody does understand you, and that's Jesus. He knows what you're dealing with. Well, Brother Baldwin, I've been suffering. I'm having a hard time living because the folk around me just don't want to do right. Don't worry about it. The Lord knows where you are. He knows where you live. Not only does he know where you live, but he'll stop by. He'll stop by and dwell with you. He says, I'll talk with you, sup with you. You have to invite him in. He's not going to be guilty of a B&E, you know, that's breaking and entering. You got to invite the Lord in, right? Invite him in, and he'll come in. He'll talk with you. He says, I know you. I know where you dwell. Then he goes on to say, even where Satan's seat is. Folks, you may not know where Satan's seat is, but I tell you, somebody who does, that's the Lord. It could be right next to you. Don't look now. Just blink real fast. All right. It could be next to you. So are you sitting next to Satan? Get away from him if that's the case. You know, we don't like it when we come in here and somebody is in our seat, right? Sometimes people get all bent out of shape when they come in the building and somebody's sitting in their seat. But you know what? We ought to be thankful, even if you have to sit on the floor, have to be thankful to be in God's house. Amen. You know, we got to be mindful, too, because we may have visitors. I have guests. We don't want to make people get up. So sometimes you might come down and stand at the end of the row. You don't want to say anything. You'll say, I know they know that's my seat, but they may not know, you know. So anyway, we got to be kind to everybody, even the ones who are regular members. If you sit on this side and one Sunday somebody's there, sit on the other side. That's all it is. This microphone reaches the whole building. Thank you. Some who sit on one side just don't want to move. I know how it is. So if your seat is taken, just get up and just move on to the other side. All right, back to Revelation 2:13. He said, I know where you work. I know where you dwell, even where Satan's seat is. Now, let's look at Satan's seat. In Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. See, we've got to stand up. Stand up for Jesus Christ, even on your job. When Satan is working your last nerve, when Satan is just wearing you down, you got to stand up for what is right. I don't care what's going on in your life, do what's right. God will give you the strength. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Psalms 37, verse number 25. God will put clothing on your back. He will put food on your table. Got to trust in the Lord. You know, a lot of folk get discouraged, and they feel down. And they feel like, you know, sometimes when the doctors may give up on you and walk out of the room, and I've seen where the doctors have told somebody they wouldn't be here tomorrow. And they end up here. And the people who were crying over them, they are the ones who are gone. Put your trust in God. Have you ever tried to do something wrong? And it just seems like it's something that's stopping you every time. I believe Brother Bob mentioned that in our class this morning. You're trying to do wrong, and somehow the Lord sends something around you or somebody to stop you and send you back to where you need to be. Well, you ought to thank God for that. He's looking out for all of us. There's a lot of people who are mixed up. Some people worship the cars, the job, the families, they tell you they're going to worship their sleep. Some people worship their sleep more than God. You know, they'll say, I'm tired today. I don't think I'm going to be able to go to church. This is the only day I've got off work. Well, if this is the only day you get off, and God gave you that job, it seems like it would only be right for you to give that back to God. Some end up worshiping their families. Well, my cousin's coming to town this week, so I'm just not going to be able to make it to church. But I'll be back later on. He goes on to say, in verse number 16, repent. He says, repent. You see, there is a prescription for what's going on in your life. If you're here, you put other things before God. You put your family before God, your husband or your wife or your children before God. He says to do what? Repent. The Bible says in Luke 13 and verses 3, I tell you nay, except ye repent. Ye shall all likewise perish. He says, repent or else I'll come quickly and will fight against you. Well, how do you fight against me? Doesn't it seem like when you work hard all day and you forsake the Lord, forsake the assembly, and you just keep on working, doesn't it seem like the more money you make, the more money you don't have, right? The Lord can fight against you, folk. Well, I'm just going to have to work this overtime today. I'm just not going to be able to go to church. No, but you, when you get all of that money, I had a friend years ago who worked 80 hours most weeks, and he said, that check was fat. I said, yeah, I know it was. He said, but I sure was tired. You know, took me 3 or 4 days to recuperate. You know, you can make all of the money that you want to, and you probably come to a time when you just won't be able to enjoy it. It's not how much money you make. It's what you do with what you have. Whatever God has blessed you with, utilize it. Allow God to bless you. Make sure you are a help to someone else. And don't worry about everything. If you're worrying, you're not praying. If you're praying, you're not worrying. Just thank God. Don't let Satan have a seat in this church. Well, this morning you've heard his word. I hope you will believe it with all of your heart, repent of your sins, confess Christ to be the Son of God, accept him in baptism. That's how you get into the body of Christ. If you're already a member but strayed away, you need to come back. You need to be restored to the body of Christ. And so, while truth, love, and mercy linger, make that choice today for Jesus. As together we stand and sing.
Oh, no.
Jesus, do you know my friend? Have you heard? And